This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hey, everybody, it's Kate Delaney, and boy, oh, boy, do we have a couple of big things to talk about, including the fact that bump stocks are going to be banned in 90 days. How about that? In fact, we're going to start there, and then plus it looks like the government's not going to be shut down, even a partial shutdown. That's not official, but it's looking more and more like that. So the president, this comes from the Oval Office, is all about dumping bump stocks, and gun owners have 90 days to get rid of them, and that's it. So the Trump administration moved Tuesday to get rid of bump stocks. Again, what they do, if you don't know, semi-automatic weapons fire rapidly like automatic firearms, and it's going to be illegal in late March to possess them. If you think about what happened in Las Vegas, how horrific that was for the people who were fired on from that maniac in the hotel, and unfortunately killing way too many people, being one of our worst ever days when it comes to assault. Stephen Paddock firing for 10 minutes using multiple weapons because they had target scopes and they had bump stocks, and then of course he fatally shot himself. But the bottom line is they found the bump stocks all over the room near his body on the floor of that hotel room in the Mandalay Bay. And I think enough is enough. So no reason. I know plenty of people who are responsible gun owners, and they weren't for bump stocks either. So that is going to be done. The largest manufacturer of bump stocks, Slide Fire Solutions, announced that it was going to stop taking orders and shutting down its website. So how about that? The remaining stock of the device is sold by another company, RW Arms, and that's in Fort Worth, Texas. So it's over. And good for the press. He followed through on that. 58 people dead, hundreds injured in our deadliest mass shooting in modern history. That's just no good. That doesn't wash. So that was a very good thing to take out. And, you know, bravo on that. In the meantime, what about the idea of a government shutdown? What's happening there? Well, it's looking like, I mean, this whole wall thing, you know, is not going to, that's not going to be solved. But even Congressman Pete King says a border wall is needed, but a government shutdown is not. And if you partially shut down the government, then it goes back to the whole, what are you doing with the people as far as paychecks and what parts of the government get shut down? And we know how nasty that all can be. So like Congressman King said, he was on Fox News, I think it'd be a mistake to shut down the government as a way, if you can find a way to negotiate to get more money for border security and find a way that the president can use a military or defense funding budget to build the wall, that would be great. But a shutdown would be terrible for the government and would hurt the Republican Party. And I think he's right with that. It's a bad idea. With the 2020 elections, you know, our minds are short on some things and not short on others. And just so you know this, the White House has said, you know, we need $5 billion. And it looks like they've identified funding sources outside congressional appropriations to help fund that. And we know the president, this is what he ran on. He's demanded a wall along the border with Mexico forever. And we'll see how it turns out. But at the end of the day, even Sarah Sanders said, you know, we don't want to shut the government down. We want to shut the border down from illegal immigration, emphasizing the illegal part of that. All right, something else that was big in D.C., I'm chomping at the bit to get this all out, but I think when you tune into America Tonight, you want to know what's going on in the world and pieces of the news and how it's being discussed. Michael Flynn. So Michael Flynn, his sentencing just collapsed. A judge said he was disgusted over the former national security advisor's conduct. And it looked like it was a done deal, but now it's not a done deal. His passport was taken. He was told not to leave the D.C. area within, you know, to stay with at least within 50 miles. There was a packed courtroom. Nobody expected to happen what happened. The U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan questioned the patriotism of the retired three-star Army general and suggested he undermined everything that the flag stood for. He said, arguably, you sold out your country. What an extraordinary moment. I think Flynn's attorneys just gasped. They were searching for something. They were sucking wind. They didn't know what to do. So that now Flynn, with this completion of his cooperation with Robert Mueller's team in the investigation, now he's like laying out there. And ultimately, what do they decide? I mean, what does the judge decide on the sentence? I don't know. You know, Sullivan did say, don't read too much into my questions, but I can assure you, if you proceed today, you wouldn't be sentenced to a period of incarceration. That's what he told Michael Flynn. So he suggested they seek a delay until it was all, his cooperation was complete so it could count in his favor. So now that's looking like, again, that's going in a much different direction than initially was thought. Crazy. And speaking of crazy, you know, when you think of tornadoes, and many of you listening to me in Alabama, in Florida, in Mississippi, in Texas, etc., in the Midwest, you know, we're used to tornadoes. But in a place called Bremerton, Washington, so outside of Seattle, trees were knocked into houses, roofs were ripped off their buildings, gas lines clipped. A very rare tornado struck suburban Seattle. No reports of injuries. That's the good news. The houses look terrible, though. It just busted through. Somebody said what happened was somebody was pumping gas, and this is how they described it. They were at a Safeway. The tornado touches down, and they say all of a sudden they look up, and they said it was just the craziest thing because they're not used to that, and they see it rip through a parking lot, a Walmart parking lot across from where they were. And there was 911 calls all over the place. It happened just before 2 o'clock in the afternoon of Tuesday. And so there were trees down, power lines down, and the roofs that I mentioned, but strong winds and rain, I guess, broke off from a large thunderstorm line, and it marched down to kind of the Puget Sound area, and that's what led to the tornado, ultimately, you know, crashing down. But very, very rare to see that. In fact, almost never in that part of the country. And we have people listening to us there, and you don't really see that. Okay, one other quick thing, because I used to live in California, and I know that when the weather gets nasty in California, you can see giant winds. They're saying in San Francisco, they expect waves as high as 30 feet. Wow. Yeah, giant waves are already battering the coastline. 50 feet in some places. So you know what that means? Surfers sometimes come out and they think they're going to be okay and they can catch a wave, like that old Beach Boys song. But I think this isn't what you want to do, catch a wave. 50 feet waves. That's insane. Oh, I was looking at you know, shots of it, video of it, and this is radio, but it would blew me away. Crazy. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
America tonight. A little bit of weather going on, so hanging with you through a different device. But I got to tell you, coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Michael Edwards, and he's one of the 10 tenors. And I wanted you to hear this if you missed my conversation with him. And why is that? Because I got to see the 10 tenors. Yeah, I just got lucky and had the opportunity to see him in action along with the other 9 tenors, and I was just completely blown away. And that happened earlier before the show. They sing, this is the holidays, they were singing Christmas songs and Christmas hymns, but they were singing rock songs, and I was just completely blown away by this Australian group. There's one American in the group. And they're pretty well known. You may be listening to me and you know exactly who I'm talking about with the 10 tenors. But what a pleasure to hear them. And you're going to hear my conversation coming up with, coming up with Michael Edwards. And, you look at their backgrounds, and so many of them come from a background of opera. They're in their 20s and they were in choirs. And, just absolutely mind-blowing. You know when you go to an entertainment venue and you see something that you thought would be good, but you didn't really realize quite how good it was going to be? That was kind of that situation for me. So I have to say, you want to hear this conversation coming up next with me and Michael. It's interesting to hear him talk about traveling around the U.S. and they've had concerts all over the place and they continue to have those concerts. If you're listening to me and Midland, Texas, that is their next stop, but they've been to Santa Fe and, all over the place, All right, I didn't bring this up, but this is a huge story, the death of Penny Marshall. It's been a really tough year for
really in, for deaths of people that are well known. And not that, look, we all know death and taxes, but it just seems to be that kind of year. And Penny Marshall was, her death was complications relating to diabetes. So her ex-husband, actor Rob Reiner, tweeted that he was so sad about her passing. They were married for 10 years. He said, I loved Penny. I grew up with her. She was a great gift, and she has a funny had a funny bone, and I was lucky to have lived with her and her funny bone. And he said it was just amazing, and people remember her from her early days, Laverne and Shirley. That's, you know, that was one of the, that was a hit show, and she was a big part of that. So people that were stars on that show with her tweeted out and talked about it. She was also, Tom Hanks and some others that were pretty famous that starred in A League of Her Own, she was the director on that show. And Tom Hanks said, goodbye, Penny Manda, we laugh a lot, wish we still could, love you, Hanks. Gina Davis, who starred in that same film, said she brought joy to so many and she'll be sorely missed. And I'll be grateful forever that I was able to be a part of A League of Their Own. And, boy, you go back and you look at her body of work, and she really, really had a big directing, but not just directing, but also in on the talent side, you know, being acting and some other things that that she did. She was definitely ensconced, I'll call that, I'll use that word, in the Hollywood community. So she's in her 70s, and so it was a surprise to some people. They didn't realize that how ill she was with the diabetes. You know, you hear these spots about diabetes, and sometimes I think it goes over our head, but it can be very, very serious, and the complications from it can be absolutely, I mean, absolutely devastating. No question about that. And in the meantime, we move from the story of Penny Marshall's death to the fact that, you know, we're here in the middle of winter, and winter is different for everybody, as the tenors reminded me. Right now in Australia, it is summertime, so it is very, very hot, and Santa does not arrive bundled up because it's just too bloody warm, so you wouldn't do that. But then you look at, I was looking at a story about the coldest town in every state, and what are the coldest towns that I, but isn't that funny to say, what's the coldest town in Colorado? And it's a place where I skied, Crested Butte. They say the average number of days that reach 32 degrees or below is 32 or below, 265. The low temperature, 17 degrees. Coldest month, January, negative 7 degrees. And then it's so funny because you look at places like Hawaii, and the average low temperature is 55 degrees, right? And I know that some of you do not sympathize who are listening that are joining us from the Midwest or other areas where it gets quite cold. I mean, you know, I always say the weather is the common denominator. What do we talk about? We talk about the weather. You get on an elevator with strangers and it's pouring cats and dogs, you talk about the rain. If it's a crazy snowstorm, you talk about the snowstorm. If it's incredibly hot, you talk about how hot it is. It's just natural, even though we go through this every single year, unless it's a particularly nasty storm, then it's, you know, different. I'd say that's different. And this unfortunately is a time where there is going to be a storm for some people who are traveling during the holidays. So when you travel at the Christmas holidays, you can expect long lines and you can expect some headaches if some of this nasty weather in fact, slams into some of the places that's supposed to slam into, you know, in the Midwest and parts of the South, because you'll have planes that are grounded, you'll have planes that will have to play catch up and that whole thing. And when you look at the amount of passengers, 45, and I think I said this on another show, 45.7 million, that's the estimate, are going to fly during this 18-day span. Some are flying already. And the real window, though, starts on Thursday and it ends on January 6th. And how many passengers per day? 2.54 million a day. And that keeps increasing. That's what the travel people are saying. The busiest day in that time period is Thursday, December 20th, and Friday, the 21st. That's when you're just going to be in pure panic if you don't go to the airport with a couple of hours to spare, because you're going to have long lines, the terminals are going to be busy, and that's how it is. And, you know, this is how you got to roll when you have to do the whole TSA nonsense and everything else that you got to do. You know, now TSA asks people to take food out of their carry-ons, and they go through checkpoints and, you know, remove other things. And this year, powders, cosmetics, protein powder, ground coffee, any of that kind of stuff, you're usually asked to take it out. It's interesting because it used to be food was okay, and then gifts that are wrapped, forget it, you're going to have to unwrap them. So if you're listening and you're going to make this trek and you haven't done it in a while, pay attention to what I just said, because you're going to, if you grab some food before you go, you're going to deal with what you deal with in being pulled aside or being asked to make sure that you put that in a different bin. You know, that again, the whole thing that has now become what we're, our new normal is the best way to say it. It's our new normal, period. And that's it. A big reminder that coming up on our next show, we do our Nail the Score. And it's, you know, the season's winding down. We just have a couple more games. I'm hoping someone's going to nail the score. We do that in our first hour, last segment. If you're listening to me on a podcast via replay, boy, if you're ever awake at night, you do yourself a favor to call, because it's so fun to play. And somebody is bound somebody's bound to win this time. I have a really strong feeling about this, that we're going to have a winner. So whatever the game of the week is, you don't have to know football. You just pick a side and tell me what you think the score is going to be. A quick side note here from a sort of a man cave note or a sports note. Monet Davis, does that name ring a bell? She's 17 years old, and she 4 years ago became the first girl to win and pitch a shutout in a Little League World Series game. So at 17, she decided to go to Hampton University in the fall. Wow. It'll be interesting to see what happens and follow her career. What an arm she has, that's for sure, and a lot of guts and a lot of heart. All right, hang with us. Michael Edwards from the 10 Tenor, up on the flip side here on America Tonight.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Facebook reportedly gave companies like Netflix, Spotify, and others access to users' data without the users even knowing it. That's according to the New York Times, which looked over internal documents that show a number of companies had access to things like private messages. This shows how data has become a commodity to be sold and bartered. Facebook not only turned over its users' data to companies like Microsoft, but also data from their friends without getting the consent of the people whose data they were sharing. In response, Facebook says, "We know we got work to do to regain people's trust. Protecting information requires strong teams, better technology, and clearer policies." You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Well, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
So thrilled to catch up with Mikey Edwards. He's one of the 10 tenors. They are so popular, they are back by popular demand. I'm one of those people who loves the 10 tenors. It's their second time around. And they've got so many performances lined up, lucky for all of us here in the States. The 10 Tenors do this really cool thing where when they sell copies of Our Christmas Wish, some of that goes to the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which, of course, we love St. Jude's. In fact, these guys have raised a ton of money for St. Jude's. We're going to talk about that. And let's talk about the 10 Tenors, of course, and what it's like touring. The 10 Tenors blend rock, pop, and opera with, all the charm and charisma that one can muster up. How's that? All right, Mikey, what an introduction, huh? Did I do you good?
That was quite the introduction. I don't know quite know what to say next. Thank you so much. Hi.
So you come to the States, you're popular here, and you're touring. What's it like, first of all, touring with 9 other guys, and how did you guys form this group?
Well, the group started over 20 years ago in Brisbane, in Australia. It kind of got together as a bit of a corporate act, as a bit of a one-off thing. But the concept and the ideas really seemed to appeal to audiences. So they started touring regional Australia, and before too long, they were doing international tours. Obviously, 23 years ago, members have come and gone, and There are no originals with the group, but the group is touring as much as ever.
So what's it like for you being a classically trained tenor who basically, and I said it, you rock out with the other guys to icons like David Bowie and Prince? I mean, that's sort of an anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things that we really try to do is kind of celebrate as many types of tenors that we can. So, yeah, we've got Pavarotti in the show, but yeah, as you say, we've got Bowie, we've got Queen. It's probably one of the biggest challenges about being in the group, having to cover so many styles, but I think it was one of the best things about joining the group, getting to sing so much music that I hadn't really been able to sing before. So it's one of my favorite bits about being in the group is the diverse music that we cover.
So here's the key. Are you a tenor one or a tenor two?
Well, we do lots of switching up throughout the show. So during some songs, I might be a tenor one, and then during some other songs, I might be a tenor two. Yeah, we keep it interesting.
No kidding. How long have you been, singing? How long has that been, part of what's the passion that drives you since you were a kid?
Yeah, I started singing when I was 8 years old. I was a boy soprano, and I sang in a children's choir in Melbourne, and I just loved it, and went on to study it, and I've been touring with the Ten Tenors for 4 years now, so just kind of can't get enough.
So when you're touring with the guys, and here you are traveling around the U.S., we talk about food all the time. So, for example, I grew up in Philly. When you go to Philadelphia, everybody talks about cheesesteaks and pretzels. If you're in Kansas, they talk about beef. If you're in California, they talk about sushi or fish tacos. What's been your best food experience so far?
Well, I love barbecue. I just love it. So whenever we're kind of in the south around Kansas or in Oklahoma, you'll see me at a barbecue joint.
Inhaling the barbecue with... Do you like the spicy sauce?
I like spicy wet barbecue. That's all me.
Oh, then you fit in perfectly. Obviously your accents attract attention. There's all of you traveling together. People, I think, get what you... Certainly, they've seen you. They get what you do. Do you find that you get quizzical looks sometimes when you're touring around?
Well, yeah, sometimes we do because it's hard to not notice kind of 10 Australians walking through either a pub or bar or restaurant or something like that. So we often do, and people go, "What are you doing here?" And sometimes we end up in the most unlikely places. But that's definitely one of the best parts of that touring, I think.
I have a friend from Melbourne, and she talks to me all the time about kangaroos, the roos, she says. And she says the roos are just like pets. I mean, they're not pets, but they're all over the place. So is that true? I mean, you go there and you can easily perhaps see one when you're driving down the road?
I mean, they're not in the city. Like in Melbourne, for instance, you're not going to see one. They're not in the streets of the city. But you don't actually have to travel that too far out of the city and you will see some wild kangaroos. But they're not hopping down the streets, I can tell you that much.
They're not hopping down the street. All right, how about koalas? Sometimes there's some confusion. They're so cute when they're stuffed. They're gorgeous when they're at a zoo. But you grew up with koalas. What are they like? Do they bite?
They're actually really grumpy. They just kind of snarl and don't do a whole lot. They just sit in a tree and just kind of snarl and grumble away. I think they're just a really, really angry animal.
They're an angry animal. That's great. You just destroyed my picture. Okay, I have to ask you about this because I like music. I like sports. We like all kinds of things here on this show, and the people listening do. And there's always that argument about why do you call Aussie rules football? Come on, it's not like the NFL. So what are the dickens about Aussie rules football? What's the deal about that?
I mean, it's just, actually in Australia, there's kind of in the south, everybody plays Aussie rules, and in the north, everybody plays rugby. So we can't even really make up our own minds back home. But, it's the most popular game. We love it. In Melbourne, especially where I'm from, around September, which is the end of the season, it's just footy, footy crazy.
I bet it's crazy. And then I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this question too, because this is the first thing it really Americans say. The idea about the water spinning in a different direction in Australia than the U.S. Why is that?
I actually would have no idea. I'm not even sure if I paid close enough attention to even notice something like that. But I will go home, try and figure it out, and report back.
All right, I'm going to give you my email address, and we want you to call in because we want to know. That is a big burning question for me. We're speaking with Mikey Edwards of the Ten Tenors, and the Ten Tenors, as you heard we talk about, blend rock and pop and opera, and they've got fans all over the place. I mean, 90 million plus have certainly seen them. And you've got these Home for the Holidays concerts, and they've got music from the Ten Tenors' top 10 album, Our Christmas Wish. Why do you think people like Christmas music so much?
I think it just really gets you in the mood, doesn't it? I mean, after Thanksgiving, I've started to hear Christmas tunes in the shopping malls, and it's getting me excited and getting me in the holiday spirit. And I think everybody just loves to sing along to them, so people are more than welcome to do that at our show.
Do you don't want me singing. I'm not a tenor one, a tenor two. I'm not a bass or a baritone. I don't know what I am, but I know I scared the dog.
Well, that's always fun too.
yeah. Who's that woman there trying to sing? So when we talk about your Christmas songs, as you said, it gets people in the mood. Do you have a favorite one? Is it White Christmas? Is it Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You? What do you like?
Yeah, my favorite is White Christmas. I love that song, which is funny considering we don't get White Christmases in Australia, but I just absolutely love that song. And maybe I just enjoy dreaming of a White Christmas, so.
Nice. Well, you might get to see some white snow as you are cruising around the U.S. I mentioned you're in a whole bunch of different places. You talked about barbecue and loving barbecue, so we know you like Kansas and those areas. Do you have a favorite city or a place that you've been to?
One of my favorite places that we went to on tour maybe 3 years ago, we went to New Orleans in Louisiana, and I just absolutely loved that city. It was so much fun, and we did a really cool gig there at one of their newly reopened theaters, and yeah, that was definitely a highlight of the state to me.
That is perfect. You said New Orleans because, of course, people are listening to us in New Orleans. And I love New Orleans, too. I know exactly what you mean. But here's the key, Mikey. You fall in love with New Orleans, and when you're there, you got to be careful because it's so easy to want to just plant yourself there.
I can imagine.
Sucks you in, and you want to stay. So let's talk about, and I mentioned this, the proceeds and how much of that goes toward, but just in general, what happens with the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Obviously, this is important to you guys because you've raised so much money already for them.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, we released our Christmas album, Our Christmas Wish, in Australia, and we teamed up with a charity there called the Children's Hospital Foundation. And I think Christmas is a time for giving, and it's a time to be, you know, supporting really important causes. And when we were releasing the album in the States, there was no better organization than St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to do the same thing. So in 2016, we went to Memphis and we visited St. Jude, and we just absolutely were in awe of what they do there. And so we're really excited to be continuing to partner with them and donating all the net profits from that album straight to the kids.
Oh, I love it. So if somebody wants to get a copy of the album, how can they do that?
They can go online and they can get it on iTunes, or they can get it at Walmart, or they can come to our shows.
Perfect. I love it. Mikey Edwards, Ten Tenors, thank you so much for joining us, and you've got to find out about that water thing. It's very strange.
I'll let you know.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you so much.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Flying back from somewhere, you know how it is with me, and I read this great book, Model Marine, Sandra Sykes Meek joins us now. She's the author of that book. And, you know, people know I'm a voracious reader and I love to read. But with the speaking and the show and, of course, as all of you know, and I'm pulled on all kinds of directions, sometimes it's hard for me to focus lately. But, boy, could I really focus on this one. It was such a great novel, I have to say. So, Sandra, it was a page-turner. What a great story and what a novel you have weaved. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. That makes my day hearing you say that. It was a lot of love that went into that. So I hope it was a great read, and I hope it's one of those stories that can relate to a lot of people, or a lot of people can relate to.
Right. And see, I think that's what it is, that a lot of people can relate to it. So when you set out on doing that, you know, this kind of a novel, what was that process like for you?
It was a very long process for me because it was so important for me to get the story right. So when I first conceived this idea, I was still on active duty. I retired in 2010, and I began a master's program for creative writing, and I knew that the story I wanted to tell had to be about the Marine Corps and about women Marines specifically, mostly because I don't think that they are very well known, or I should say not much is known about them. So I worked on my master's program for a couple of years, developed my thesis, But when I was done with it, I wasn't ready to let it go. It wasn't where I needed it to be. So I entered back into the workforce after retiring from the Marine Corps. And I would say it sat on the shelf for about 5 years. And one day I just woke up and said, I have to finish this. And so I wrote like a maniac for about 6 months. That was in 2017. And I spent my weekends and mornings working on the book. And I wanted to bring in a lot of different themes. I wanted people to know about traumatic brain injury. I wanted people to understand what the combat experience is like. In our era of war. And so I think it was a lot of attention to detail and just a lot of time spent making sure that I got the story right. And I also wrote the story in a way so that people who were reading it, they had to put the puzzle pieces together a lot like people who have traumatic brain injury do.
Wow. And that's what I think made it really so unique. So that's pulling all the aspects of it together, right? So the narration, the plot, the symbolism, all of that went into this really giant puzzle. Is that what it was like?
Yes, it was. And sometimes I would get confused in the writing process. And I'd say, oh, my goodness, I have this character doing the wrong thing right now. yes, it was a puzzle that needed to be put together. I wanted the reader to experience that feeling that people who have traumatic brain injury and PTSD experience. So, and I also wanted to give readers multiple perspectives so that they understood this combat experience from several sides of the story. And I hope I did that.
Yeah. So that's it. So the vantage point of what you think, what you're showing, and what an individual thinks, because we all have a different way of pulling something in and then thinking what that means and what the perception of truth is, right?
That's right. We all think truth is black and white, but I believe it's definitely gray, and it's definitely influenced by our perception. You know, our vantage point, what we're seeing, it can look completely different to someone from a different vantage point.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I think that's why it really resonated with me, because I'm definitely a gray person, too. I agree with you. It's not black and white. Tell us a little bit about your experience. You did a little, you know, mentioning what happened and putting it on the shelf and that kind of thing. What was your experience like as a Marine for you?
Oh, I love the Marine Corps. It wasn't black and white either. there were things about the Marine Corps that are very special to me, the sense of family. I can see any Marine from any time, any era. And we established that we were both Marines. We talk about when we served, where we served, who we served with, and we have an instant bond. I think the Marine Corps is a very unique organization, and I think it brings out the best in a lot of people. But that doesn't mean it always does. And there's always going to be a little bit of negative in every organization. I wanted to be honest about that in this story. I wanted to be truthful in how I represented the Marine Corps. And I would say that overall my experience was great. I got to go on a couple of combat deployments, and I also married a Marine who also went on a couple of combat deployments. And we had a family together in the Marine Corps. And so it was a very unique experience. And I would say that there are some parts of that story where similar events that occurred in that story happened or I observed, you know, in my time in the Marine Corps. But I would say that there's always three sides to every story.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? There always is different. There's different sides to every story. Who knows how many sides there are, actually. And in reading this, and you said it a little bit, for sure, what do you really hope your impact is with the novel? I mean, obviously, want people, like I said in the beginning, I really enjoyed it. There was a story there, because ultimately, when you write a novel, it's about keeping our attention, pulling us through it, making us get to the end and feel, I think, feel something. What do you hope that the readers take away from reading Model Marine?
I hope they better understand veterans. I hope that readers understand and remember that many of us can have different opinions and different perspectives, and we can still be a family. You know, I would like to think that my characters had very different opinions on things, but it was evident that they operated as a team, and in a lot of ways they were a family. And that goes for, you know, the civilians in the story as well. We all have a place of coming from, and I just wanted people to understand the military experience, understand how the Marine Corps is, what it's like for a woman in the Marine Corps, and understand that we all need to be a little more understanding of each other. is really what it boils down to.
Wow, well said. And we're speaking with Sandra Sykes Meek. The book is called Model Marine. Have any of your, as you said, you're like a family. Have any Marines that you serve with, did you send the book to any of them?
Yes, I have. So I keep in touch with several of the Marines that I served with. And they're closer than family, a lot of them. And even though we haven't seen each other in years, you know, anytime I travel and I'm in a location where I know that one of my former Marines was there, I'm going to go and see them. So, yes.
Yeah. So here's the question. What did they tell you? Did they love it?
So the female Marines I have received feedback from have all said they loved it. I've not received any negative feedback from any Marine, actually, male or female. And I hear things, I get comments like, it reminded me of boot camp, or it reminded me of, you know, such and such deployment, or, you know, it just takes them back to that experience that most of us really treasure.
Yeah, I mean, again, the character is wonderful. Is this something you'd continue? Would you do another novel?
Absolutely. I want badly to write another novel or several. What my problem is that I haven't decided on what's next. I have short stories in development that have nothing to do with the Marine Corps, and I have some outlines of other stories that I'd like to develop. But I believe that if Model Marine does well and people really connect with those characters, that's a story I would like to consider, you know, doing a series on.
Yep. Well, I loved it. Sandra Sykes Meek, pick up the book. It's called Model Marine, Amazon, etc. That's where you can get it. And thanks to you and thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Kate.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.